Blog Talk Radio. I'm Cindy Sansone Brath, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my assistant and my co-host, Nicole. She's a beautiful young woman, a writer, a lesbian, and an entrepreneur, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex. Sister Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, Nicole, we're going to soon have to say in Married Lady, Sadie, Sadie, Married Lady.
Oh, boy.
I know. It's so exciting. You know, I got an email or two about your upcoming nuptials, and everybody's
really
excited. Yes. They're just saying, hooray, hooray. And I know you're
in the
stress
point. I think that must
point.
Be the most interesting for people that have been listening to the show since, like, the very beginning.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, it's like they've seen now the evolution has come full circle.
Right, and people are, like, not believing that it's happening, and it's only, mm-hmm. like, 2 weeks away or something, right? Two, three weeks,
yeah,
right?
Three weeks.
Wow, that's kind of exciting, and, I'm the most excited. I'm the most excited, and I know you have a lot of things to get ready for, but I hope you're resting a little bit, too. Are you trying to get some rest?
I am trying to, because, I mean, I've been, like, very, very strict with, like, my gym regimen. Like, as a lot of people know, like after my car accident, like, I gained weight and I wasn't really that happy and this and that and everything. So, I mean, for a while now, I've been keeping a very, very strict diet. I've been in the gym at, 6:30 every morning and, I've been busting my butt. But you know what? Like now that I'm doing all this, like, mentally, I just feel so exhausted. So it's like, I've been foregoing a couple of like early morning routines and stuff like that to make sure that I'm getting some rest there.
Wow. Well, you want to look, you're absolutely beautiful that day. So, but a little rest will make it look better than, don't overkill yourself, rest a little. Because you want to look rested in your photographs, don't you?
What's that?
You want to look rested in your wedding photographs, don't you?
Yeah, no, I don't want to look drawn out. I don't want to look jaundiced or anything like that, though. So, I am trying to do my best to keep, like, a clear head. Probably that whole week, I think I'm just going to want to do nothing but sleep just to make sure that I'm very well rested. Either that or I just have to, tip my makeup girl, a little bit extra so that, she could do some wonders with some makeup that day.
Well, I know when I look at my wedding pictures, I looked okay, but I look at them and I said, boy, I was tired because, I had worked too much prior to it because we were going to Paris for, 8 days. So when I have to go on vacation, that means I have to triple up, which I would never do again. If I had to do it over again, I would not triple up like that before, it would be no,
yeah, probably
I'm working
not.
A regular week before I would get married. That, it was just, I was tired. So you want to make sure, even if you just take a little rest the day before, just the day before.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to make sure that, we were chit-chatting before the show started and everything, and I was saying that, my lovely fiancé, I love the woman to death. I wouldn't be marrying her if I didn't. But, she's been just like the worst. She is no help. She cannot
she
make a
Nicole.
Decision. She can't make a decision to save her damn life. Like, I give her a list. This is what you're in charge of. And I have the things that I'm in charge of. So it's like, when we have our little meetings about this, and she says, okay, she goes, you go first. And I go, okay, listen, I called this person. I did this. I did that. I did this. And, I'm working on this. What about you? okay, you know, and, you know, she'll go like, okay, so number one, Sophia's on that, and Kathy's doing this, and Eileen is doing this. I'm like, are you telling me really that you delegated your entire list? And she's like, yeah. So, okay, she delegated her entire list.
Smart girl.
You know, I'm like,
smart girl.
I was like, you just suck. I was like, well, what about the stuff that, you know, that you have to choose? You know, that's, you know, your opinion. You have to choose it. She turns around. She goes, oh, well, I trust them. They know me. Alrighty then.
See? But you could tell she's a little bit younger soul than you are, because older souls never ask for help. Younger souls always ask for help. Can you see the difference?
That is true.
It's just the way
it is.
Yes,
I do.
You know what I mean? It's just, so you can't, you know, give her five more lifetimes. She has to, you know, she has to be who she is about this. But it's funny because you can always tell an older soul, because they don't delegate very well. They always try to do it all themselves. You know, there's a point where,
my friend
between
Sophia
the two
said it the best. Yeah, my friend Sophia said it the best, because she one of the people that came over to me and was like, Lisa is the worst. She can't make a decision. And I was like, yeah, welcome to my world. She goes, yeah, but you're worse. And I said, what do you mean I'm worse? And she's like, Lisa wants me to make all the decisions. And she goes, and you fight me on every decision. So I was like, she's like,
yep.
I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. I can't win.
Yep. Well, she's right. She knows you. She knows her girls over there.
Oh, yes, she does. And she's, you know what, I have to give her a shout out too, because, you know, Sophia and Eileen, the two of those women have been absolutely invaluable during this whole experience. And, you know, like, if it were not for them, I think that, I may, you know, I don't know if it would have been coming together as nicely as it is. So I definitely have to give those two a shout out.
Well, good. We're glad you have somebody helping you. Now, we do have someone, it's the 516 number at the bottom, who sort of came into my world, interestingly, because she read my blog on ghosting. And ghosting is when someone just disappears from your life without any explanation. It's a pretty common behavior nowadays. You know, I'm not loving when people do that. And I know she had wanted to speak to us. It looks as if she has pressed one. And so we're going to pick up Allie on that line and see what she has to say to us.
All righty then. Hello, Allie, you're on the air.
Hi, guys, how are you?
Good. Now, you could maybe describe a little better than what I said. So you, what happened in your life and how you stumbled across the blog or whatever, but I loved your email, so I'm so happy to be able to read you tonight.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate you guys having me. You kind of opened it up beautifully about, you know, I was with my boyfriend for about 3 years. We made the decision to move in together, and we were together, moved in together for about 5.5 months, and we had a pretty amazing relationship. I thought we communicated well, and I really thought he was my soulmate, and he would tell me how much he loved me, and, you know, we were planning trips to Europe and in December. And pretty much what happened was, you know, of course we had our downs, but what happened was, you know, we did get into a bad fight. And then all of a sudden, 4 days later, he kind of just said, well, I fell out of love with you. I don't know when. And I'm moving out.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so it kind of just hit me like a ton of bricks. And, you know, I've been having a lot of guilt because I mishandled the situation in our fight of, you know, I was kind of childish and kind of like hid away from him. I kind of shut down and because I was angry at him. And I totally regret that. And that was not the way to handle it. But at the same time, he never got to the point where he was like, you know what? This needs to change, like something needs to change or I can't do this anymore. That was never brought up in conversation. So it kind of just hit me for a world when here you are. We looked at engagement rings literally the week before, and then you tell me a week later that you're moving out.
Wow. Well, we call that playing the game of blemish.
Yeah.
He got scared when he got to the next level. Now, relationships tend to work in 5-year cycles. So how long would it be now that you know him? With, you know, breaking up and the whole bit.
We actually dated a few years back for a few months. So yeah, I've known him for about 5-6 years.
Okay, now Norm, he definitely was a soulmate. So I don't want you to negate everything like Oh my God, I don't know what he was. When you first met him, you had that heart connection, that soul connection. You used to bring out the best in each other, the mind, remember, and you used to communicate well, and the body connection. So you were soulmates. 1% of people manage to maintain soulmate love, and 45% are offered it. So maintaining it scares people. But just when you were going to go to the next level, which is the engagement rings, it scared the hell out of him. So what he did was pick a fight, make a fight, let's have a fight, let's blow this fight up, and then I'm going to run away. I'm going to blame it on you. But that's called playing the game of blemish. People do have fights. And if you notice in toxic love affairs, people fight for years. They kill each other. They have each other arrested. They throw acid in each other's face, and yet they still stay together. So it's like when it's a toxic love affair, it doesn't matter what people do, they're together. But a soulmate love, if a person gets scared, they look for something and then they run. And the thing that he did that disturbs me is that he didn't let you go in the arena to fight for him. He just said, it's over, I don't feel anything, and walked out of the ring. Like, you can't even fight for this. Like, what? It is the most frustrating experience because you're just left like, that's it, no closure, you're walking out of here, and you've been running in your head, and I love the way you're taking responsibility. You're saying, okay, I was childish, I could have handled it better, and I'm glad you see you could have handled it better. But what a person, when they just disappear like this, does, it leaves us feeling, I did something really wrong, could I have done it better, what could I have done? When a person is going to run from love, by the way, you can't really do anything right, and you can't do anything wrong. They're going to run. No matter what you do, they're going to run. So he got scared and realized that it was a good relationship. Whatever you were fighting about, couples do fight, and they do have that. But has he completely now stopped ever contacting you, or is he trying to text you every now and then?
Oh, no. He completely, after he said he wanted to move out, he completely moved his stuff out, and I have not heard from him at all.
And that was how long ago, you said?
This has been about a month and a half now.
Okay. Now, you could see a person that could do this has to be a pretty narcissistic person. He doesn't care how he hurts you. I mean, I don't think you could do that to a person. I couldn't do it. Nicole couldn't do it. I couldn't just close the door on somebody without an adequate explanation or at least letting them state their case to me and, you know, realize that he's got fears of commitment. He's a really big commitment phobic. He started to get really afraid. Do you know about his parents' marriage? Because it doesn't look all those that great in these cards.
No, it was actually a pretty terrible marriage. And at some point, the father did end up leaving for a long period of time.
Did he return? Did he return?
Yeah.
And are they still together?
Yes, living with them in the house.
Okay, now you could see we always have to relive our parents' marriage, the one we saw growing up. So if you notice, he pulled his father. He moved out. How could my father move out? How could he do that? Well, he's become his father. He just moved out. Now, maybe he thinks you're going to be his mother and let him walk back in, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, when he feels like it. But I think he's underestimated you because this is not the kind of man you want to be with, a man who's going to just walk out when things get rough.
Right.
And the fact that he's back living with them and observing them is the universe's way of saying, you know, love goes up and down a ladder. It goes good, it goes bad, people take each other for granted. But he's looking at their marriage right now, and even though the father came back, you know, sometimes just separating from a relationship can fix it. Maybe you start realizing we could talk better, we need to communicate, and it could actually fix something. But his parents never fixed anything. Nothing really changed when the father left and came back. They're still just as dysfunctional as they were the first round. But what they've shown their son is that love starts out good, then it sucks, then you go back and forth, and then there's no getting out of this mess. Wouldn't you be scared if you were raised in a family like that and you thought, oh, man, there's no getting out of this stuff. You know, you just torture each other. So he got scared. He's afraid of commitment. But true commitment phobics are pretty judgmental people as well. Is he judging his parents harshly? Have you heard him judge them harshly at all?
Oh, yes, absolutely. He has always been super, super critical of them.
Okay, so you could see if we judge our parents, we become them. He became his father. I swore I'd never be my father, the maniac that he was. But when my daughter was a really bad teenager, oh, I was a maniac. Funny how God will give you a child that anybody will scream at, because you have to see kids are a pain in the ass. They're not that easy to raise. This is not, you know. And realize that he's becoming his father. He's a narcissistic guy. He's manipulative. What he did was pretty manipulative, packing up and leaving without much of an explanation. He's judgmental. How old is he, by the way?
He is 30, about to be 31.
Okay, it's what I was afraid of. At 25, people's brain chemistry starts getting really solidified, and they are who they are. They're not going to particularly change. By the time he's hit 30, he is who he is. I mean, you, I'm sure, are waiting for him to at least come back and make some explanation. But at this point, are you beginning to see there's some traits in him that maybe it's been a blessing that you're seeing this before you got engaged to him and got married?
Yes, absolutely. I actually, you know, took the high road. I went to therapy, and I've talked a lot to my parents. My mother is extremely insightful, and kind of just there were a lot of red flags. And for whatever reason, I did kind of miss those. And he's been through a lot in his life, and that you don't walk away from the life he had not scarred.
Right. And know that, like you said, he's had a hard life, but he's over the age of 25. God doesn't care who his mommy and daddy is. Knock it off now. Okay.
Yeah.
And ignoring red flags is part of what's my book, Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships, is about. Good people make excuses for abuse. Oh, his mommy did this, his daddy did this. We ignore a lot of red flags that other people are seeing. You know, I think we believe we can fix people. If we love them enough, we can change them. And when you met him 6 years ago, he was 24, or, you know, just at the borderline of changing. You know, there was still hope. So,
right.
You know, the universe brought a soulmate love, hoping, let's get your brain chemistry shifting in a better direction. Mm-hmm. And for probably a year or two, it was. And then he began to go more into his mode of behavior. But realize, mm-hmm. your mother loves you the way you should love yourself. She was really angry what he did to you. I mean, this hurt you. And she knew this isn't right. So I hope you know that anger is a right emotion. I mean, you have a right to be angry at him. Are you aware of that?
I am. And for some reason, I'm frustrated, but I can't even say that I hate him. I don't know why.
But and I wouldn't ask you to hate him, but I would want you to understand that you can forgive him, the person, but not his actions. His actions aren't very forgivable. And at this point, they will give him a full 3 months. You know, hasn't talked to you in like 5 weeks or whatever it is. They will wait a full 3 months to see if he's missing you, if maybe he goes to therapy. Maybe he realizes he's going to lose the love of his life, and see what he does for the next couple of months. If his mind is registering, I miss her, I'm sorry. If he does some things to make amends to you. At that point, because you were soulmates and because it was a long-term relationship, the universe gives a full 3 months. If they register at the three-month mark, he's distracting, he's looking at porn, he's drinking, he's partying with his friends, he's whatever, but he's not doing his inner homework, then they will close the door on this soulmate relationship for you if you want the door closed. If you were willing to keep it open for a year because, you know, you that's how you feel, the universe would probably keep it open longer. But once they close it, they will begin to bring you in alignment with another soulmate, and we have more than one soulmate. You're not responsible for the ending of this relationship. I don't care if you had a hissy fit. I don't care if you had a temper tantrum. I don't care what you did, you know, that it was not justifiable to end a relationship. So he's the one who's responsible for the ending of the relationship. You would be granted another soulmate. He will not be granted another soulmate, by the way, anytime soon. It may be 5, 10, 20 years, if ever, if they see, you know, he realizes what he threw away. The problem is that his parents were never soulmates. They were on the ladder of love, a man and woman to fit a plan. What does that mean? They were never a great love affair. They should have never lasted forever. So what he's going to have to do is probably hook up or marry somebody who's a mediocre love affair to try to understand why no matter what his parents do, they're never going to fix that love. It's not soulmate. Consider it a blessing that he wasn't going to stick around and bring your love down to mediocre over the next couple of years. And then you would have his parents' marriage on your hands as it went more toxic. So know he's got a lot of unhealed issues. Soulmate love brings up unhealed issues. You have a grandfather who passed away, correct?
Correct.
Do you remember him? He loves you very much.
Yes, I do remember him.
Now, he's very mad at your ex for what he did. I mean, your grandfather was a man who, you know, you don't do this to women. You commit to them, you know. But your generation of men are boys. Are you aware of that? They're boys. You're like mommy to boys. They don't want to grow up. I mean, he's almost 31 years old. He's afraid to get married. Really? When are you going to get married? When you're 80? I mean, these men just astound me. You're not 21. You're
exactly.
31 years old. In the history of the world, people were married for a decade at 31. They had two or three or four or five babies at 31.
Exactly. So, and that's what scares me, that I'm never going to find that again.
Okay, well, we're going to take that thought right out of your head, okay? We have more than one soulmate. Consider it a blessing that this went the way it did. It's not totally over to the extent I see he may resurface. He may try to text you around 2 or 3 months, you know, hi, how are you? What I would advise you to say to him, to be karmically correct, is if you have something to say, you call me or you come see me. Do not text me. And that's it. And if he then calls you, you have to ask, what's your intention in calling me? Is it to stick 2 feet into this relationship and see if we can make it work? If not, I don't need a friend. I don't need a booty call. Don't call me. He's going to have to fear losing you more than loving you. He's really afraid. But you will be granted another soulmate. You're going to pray for that soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. If it's your ex, so be it. If it's a new man, they will bring it into alignment. How old are you?
I'm 25.
Okay. You're 25. You're young yet, so don't start panicking out that you're not going to meet anybody, okay? I mean, this is not 1900s when you weren't married by 25. You might as well join the nunnery, okay? Most people of your age are still single. There's a lot of single men. You will have a wonderful soulmate, a really loving man. Write down what your ideal soulmate would be like. You can have some of the traits of your last soulmate. He's not a soulmate now. This is pretty toxic love. I mean, you don't want to get involved with his parents where they're back and forth, breaking up, going back, where it's like an addiction. It's not good for you, and you go back for more. So understand that this is not soulmate love now. But there are traits in this man that you liked, and write those down. But again, pay a little more attention when you meet people to the red flags. If a man says, well, I'm not really looking for a relationship, believe him. Don't think you're going to change him. You know, say, okay,
right,
that's good, but I'm looking. Be old-fashioned. We know you're a little bit old-fashioned.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you want a relationship. I don't think you could casually date now because you know what a soulmate is. So, you know, don't try to just casually date as if that's going to make it better. It's going to make it worse because you're going to feel lonelier because you're going to realize this is just a distraction. So,
right,
you know, see your friends. You know, you're lucky you have a supportive family. And communicate with them. Did you move back home, or are you still living in the apartment?
I'm still living in the apartment.
And who's paying the bills? He just left with you all the bills? He just stuck you with all the bills?
Yes, I'm paying all the bills, but out of my choosing. We never signed a lease. I'm lucky to live here without a lease, but I chose to stand on my own 2 feet, and this was my plan without him, with or without him. So
good, and that's very good. But can you see, it's not right that he moves out and sticks you with bills. That shows, I mean, I imagine his father probably did that. I don't know what it is, but that's not normal that you walk out on somebody, do you know what I mean, and stick them with bills and the whole bit. So realize that you might want to meditate while you have a right to be angry at him, and it's righteous anger. It's not you're going to go throw a grenade at him, okay? It's just that, anyway, if he comes back and, you know, then I need to, you know, be sure that I aware that he could pull this again, that mm-hmm. this is not the kind of person I want to build my life on around. I mean, it's scary to think that, you know, you could have children with him and he could get scared and run out on you.
Right.
So,
well, the only reason why I might shut my door to him is because when we were together the first time, it was a very similar situation of him just kind of walking out. It wasn't a fight. It was just he walked out, and it was just kind of like, I'm done.
Okay, because this is the second time he did it. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, correct.
That's very important that you told me that because, you know, forgiveness means when we truly forgive a person, it means, you know, he or she recognizes they've done something wrong. They make amends to us. They build back history with us, and they don't do it again. Can you? So forgiveness does not mean reconciliation with him. You can forgive the person, not his actions. But you can realize he's done it once, he's done it twice, he'll probably do it again. I mean, I had this happen to me when I was very young. I was probably 19, and this man, you know, he was ahead of his time because that commitment phobia wasn't like it is now, and ghosting wasn't even a term ever used. But he would just disappear. He would just, you know, all of a sudden I couldn't find him. I didn't know where he was. I didn't know if he was dead or at the bottom of a river. And he would just disappear for a month and then come back. And I mean, well, I couldn't eat, I couldn't sleep, I didn't know what happened. And he did it one too many times until I couldn't. I said, this is not how I'm living life. And ironically enough, when I married someone else and I was pregnant with my daughter, I ran into his best friend and he said to me, I can't believe what a bitch you were and what you did to Clark. And I said, what I did to him? He said, you just walked out and, you know, and you just dropped him. I said, excuse me, did you know how many times he just disappeared on me? Do you know how much I cried and how many times he did it? And then he looked at me and said, oh my God, I just went double dating with him a few months ago with his new girlfriend, and she was crying hysterically because he had just pulled that on her the week before. I said, see?
Yeah.
So 10 years later, he was still doing it to people? So I thought it was the message from God that me leaving him was the right thing to do, or
mm-hmm.
I would have spent my life with a man who's going to disappear for no reason. So don't ignore the fact that you have to be a narcissist to pull a crap like this on somebody. And I don't care if he had a hard childhood, really had a very hard childhood. This doesn't give me license to abuse people, okay?
Yeah.
Sorry, okay? No.
Yeah.
And we have to stop feeling sorry for these people because there are plenty of people with hard childhoods and hard lives that don't do this. And
right.
There are plenty of people with easy lives that are pulling this on people. So realize it is a very American trait for men to come and go, ghost women and disappear. But you and I are ones that are going to say this is not acceptable. And you agree with that, correct?
Correct.
And, you know, I see wonderful things for you. So I would hope that you would call in and let us know if he resurfaces and how you handle it, because I think there's a lot of women in your situation. I loved your emails and the way you said, I would be so honored to be on your show. And I said, I love this girl. How can you walk out on this girl? What's the matter with this guy? What's the matter with this man? But he's not rejecting you. He's rejecting a higher love because a higher love demands he heals his issues, and this man does not want to heal his issues. I mean, you may be surprised. He may marry somebody else in the next year. I don't want you to think he's gotten a soulmate. He will get a woman to fit a plan. He will have his parents' nightmare on his plate. I feel sorry for the children that are going to be born in that mess. So, you know, sometimes people just have to walk totally in their parents' footsteps. And
right.
It's scary. Isn't that scary?
Yeah, very scary.
So,
I suspect that he's actually with somebody, to be honest.
Okay, and I'm not surprised because he can't be alone. Okay, I didn't want to hurt you because I could see in the cards he was with somebody else, but I didn't want to smear your face in it. But the point is, don't think he's got a higher love going on here. Okay, he's got truly mediocre to toxic. True toxic love has an unconscious contract. No matter what you do or I do, we never abandon each other. They can go back and forth fighting for 30 years. So.
Right.
You know, do not mistake that he's gotten a higher love. Consider her your best friend, because when you're with your soulmate, who's a healed man, who's loving, who's a man, not a boy, and you have a beautiful, happy life, you're going to think back and think, thank God she got him. And,
yeah.
You know, because I don't have to deal with this. And know that she may have been in the picture before he left, by the way. You know about that.
Yes, I don't never listen to my gut, and my gut now tells me that.
Okay, because, you know, you're ready to hear it. I don't think a month ago I would have been telling you all this, okay?
Yes.
Sometimes as a psychic, you know, the first reading or something, I hold back a bit because, you know, people can only handle so much truth sometimes. But you need to know that he picked this fight or started it or did it, ran. It's not that he loves her. He sabotaged your relationship with him. He was just scared. Maybe he loves you enough to not destroy you. Maybe he loves you enough to say, I have to destroy love. Let me destroy it with this woman. And believe me, this girl is a bitch, by the way. Oh, my God. You know, he has no idea what he's signing on for. She is the true princess to become the beast, this one. So, you know, wait till he sees. Now, I don't know if you liked his mother, but according to these cards, she was no saint either. Are you aware of that?
No, I am very aware of that.
Okay, so when he marries this woman, he's going to know why his father walked out the door. Because if I were married to his mother, I'd walk out the door too. So, you know, wait till he sees how he really becomes his father. And just know that, you know, the princess that becomes the beast, 3 to 6 months, 3 months, this may blow up and he may want to come back to you. But I would need you to know, consider that your spirit guides engineered this situation to get you away from him. But, you know, just know that, you know, it's not a good love affair. So don't feel like, I can't believe he's happy. Don't go back and think he's happy in that he's got everything. You know, don't go. Sometimes people look at other people's lives and, oh, my God, it's all perfect. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you really needed this reading. I hope you will continue to, you know, be a fan of our show and call in and let us know. And you could always email me because, you know, that's what, you know, I'm there for.
Absolutely. See, I really appreciate you taking my call, and it honestly truly has helped and kind of just solidified me closing the door and moving forward.
Good girl. Call in and let us know how you're doing. Good luck to you in your quest for a higher love.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Have a great night.
Bye.
Bye.
Nicole, were you listening to that?
Of course I was.
Wasn't that a classic case of someone sabotaging a higher love, what he did?
You think?
Oh, man.
At one point, I actually muted my mic, and I just kind of giggled a little bit because, like, I was trying to refrain from giving, like, some tough love there. But you know.
I don't think she needs it because she's really faced the reality of this guy. By the way, I don't know.
Absolutely. It was more or less for like everybody else, like really listening to. It's like, you know, people have got to understand that especially, you know, now that you've gone through the whole thing about like what ghosting is and this and that and everything else, you know, and how people like tend to come and go and, you know, how we give permission for people to come and go. Sometimes you have to realize that when people walk out of your life, you need to let them, because when the wrong people are in your life, when they decide to remove themselves from your life, the right things start to happen and the right people start to come along. You know, it doesn't mean that the person that's leaving is a bad person. It doesn't mean you have to hate them. It doesn't mean that, you know, that they haven't left their mark on you or that you're not going to continue to love that person. But it means that their part of your story is done. And, you know, it's time to move on to the next chapter. And, you know, and that's it. And whenever somebody leaves, just, you know, kind of know in your head that as much as it hurts, they're making room for somebody better.
Exactly. And it's very sad because I get emails all day that people who've been ghosted, who've been disappeared, who they just ran out, and that, you know, they're so devastated and they want to know. And people ask me, is it 100% this person's going to come back? And they're never hearing what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is sometimes it's a blessing when people are taken from us. And like you're saying, sometimes we need to trust that maybe this is for our higher good. You know, sometimes, you know, taking, and then they'll take these people back and the same thing will happen a year or two later. And I'll be like, you didn't learn the lesson the first time. You have to be kicked a second and third time before you get the message. But all we're asking people is to be honest. He should have been honest with her. He's scared. You're the love of my life. I'm scared. I can't do this. You know, I'm just going to screw around with somebody else and distract because I don't want to. I just can't do this. I don't know why I can't do it. Be honest. Just tell people the truth. Tell them you're screwed up. Tell them, I don't know why my head's all screwed up. But don't make it like the person fought and they did something wrong. Don't do that to somebody.
Exactly.
Don't make it like they did one little thing and now, nah, I'm leaving you because
don't
of that.
Don't blame shift.
Right.
Don't blame shift is what you can't do.
Take responsibility
for you and your own shit.
And if you can't love because you're screwed up, okay, I get it. You can't love.
But then
okay?
say.
Then say it. I'm screwed up. I can't love. You know, I can get that. But it's all the deception. It's all the twisting and turning. And that shows me he's a narcissist because narcissists always
Absolutely.
Twist and turn truth. An honest person
Absolutely,
who's screwed up honestly tells you they're screwed up. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And, okay, it doesn't mean we have to take that person back if they keep saying I'm screwed up and I can't do anything about it. No, I don't have to take
exactly.
you back for it, but I appreciate you told me, you know, and that you have no intention of healing. I appreciate you told me that, but it doesn't mean I have to stick around and be abused. So
Exactly. It's you not accepting that as a valid excuse for somebody continually hurting you is not, you know, it's not you punishing the other person for being screwed up. It's simply a consequence, and it's self-preservation, you know. It's like
Thank
you're
you.
Being screwed up, you're continually hurting me, and you're not making any efforts to be better. You're just saying that you're screwed up without trying to put the work in to not be screwed up, and therefore I'm not going to take this anymore. Therefore I'm done.
Exactly. And what I find, sometimes there's a new breed of narcissist who tell us
mm-hmm.
a little bit of truth and then they say, you have to accept it. Yeah, I cheated.
Oh, yes. No.
You have to accept it. Mm-hmm. No, I don't have to accept
but
it.
But I told you. But
truth.
I told you.
Yeah, but I told you the truth. You know, it goes back to when we were little kids. It doesn't matter what you do. Just don't lie. Tell me the truth, you know, with parents. You know, just
exactly.
tell me the truth and you won't be in trouble. Or they'll just,
yeah.
you know, the men that'll say, I'm not looking for a relationship. I told you what I wasn't looking for a relationship. So don't blame me that there's not one. I told you. Well, if someone's telling you something, you don't have to accept it. So stop thinking
exactly.
because somebody tells you the truth, they're not a bad person. They told me the truth. No, they may be manipulating you there too. You know, they may be trying to say, well, I told you the truth. You have to accept it. So, you know, we're just trying to get people to talk about things, see things, and not be such a stooge to people. You know, I was
mm-hmm.
a big stooge to everybody. Oh, I feel so bad. Their mommy did this. Their daddy did this. I'm going to fix them. I'm going to save them.
Shit.
Yeah, how's it worked out for me? Not so great in my life. Not so great.
Nope.
So everything I teach is kind of to, because I learned it all the hard way. I learned it all the hard way. And we're just trying to say, you know, cut your losses at some point. You know, don't go back and forth and back and forth, because these people can do this dance for 20, 40 years. We've seen it. We've seen it going on forever. Well, if you notice, we have a lot of listeners, so let's see if we can get to...
We very much do.
They just
yeah,
all
we're
signing
get to,
on.
To somebody else. Yep, well, we do have Anne in Connecticut. And Cindy, just so that you know, I'm going to have to make this my last screen, because my mother is having a little bit of an issue with the little pup, and we may need to take him up to the doctor. So,
all right, so you,
so
I,
that
can,
you know,
I can
I'm
take care
be cutting
of the rest
out.
Of the show myself.
Yeah, you can
Don't
do
worry.
The rest of the show yourself, okay? So,
I
so
can
just
man
to
the ship.
We do only have 20 minutes left, and we have Anne queued up already, so I'm sure that Anne will probably kill the rest of the show with you here. But, you know, she is interested in a relationship in the future here. You know, she's been single for a very, very long time, in what seems like forever, and she just wants to know what the cards say, you know, about her and a relationship. So let's speak to Anne.
Perfect.
Hello, Anne, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi, well, you haven't been in a relationship in a long time, and what we've been talking about, you probably know why you haven't been one in a long time.
Yeah, because I'm just like you. I have the same talents and skills, and I probably should be doing what you're doing. And I'm very similar to that last caller, but I would only add that I think I also had the habit of seeking emotionally unresponsive men.
Mm-hmm.
So that I could leave them.
Right. And it also might kind of be that you're a closet commitment phobic. Like you chase
yeah.
after men who like really can't be there for you. And then
yes.
you could say it's not my fault. It's their fault. So,
yeah.
you know, maybe you've gotten some insight into that a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And the universe would love to bring you a soulmate, by the way, because you do have a great gift. And, you know, having a soulmate would help you even with your gifts better. I think you've tended to have your share of toxic love affairs, and I don't think you want them. But you're different than you were. Standing on your own two feet without a man has made you strong. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And women need to stand on their own two feet without a man, emotionally, psychologically, financially, and spiritually, before the prince can come. And you're so close to manifesting a soulmate, and because you said you have some psychic abilities and you're very intuitive, are you beginning to feel like there's a soulmate circling near you, or that's about to happen?
Well, I mean, that keeps happening in my cards. I'm very good at being, I can distance myself enough to read my own cards, but I'm also empathic, so...
Wow.
I've only found out, defined my abilities better within the past 7 years, but I've been this way probably since I was born. You know? I was the elephant in the room. So,
wow.
I think I'd be better off with someone who's like me, because
right.
I think all the guys that I was with knew that I was that way. They had to after a while.
And they also knew that they couldn't pull stuff on you because you were so intuitive and you would see it and you would sense it. So, I mean, these are some of the things that, can scare people. You are also a little afraid to get in something you can't get out of, because by nature you're a very loyal person. So it's enough to scare anybody who's never in a past life divorced to get involved in a relationship in this lifetime, because they're afraid if I make a bad choice or a bad decision, I'm never going to get out of it. So I think you've been a little afraid of that higher love your whole life. But there's a man circling very close to you. Have you written down what your ideal soulmate would be like, by the way?
No, I need to do that.
And a new list, kind, hardworking, your best friend. Whose father has passed away, by the way?
Excuse me?
Whose father has passed away?
My father?
Is your father passed away, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, because he's in the room and so is his father. Do you remember his father?
I never met his father, but he's always around me, they say.
Okay, so you've got your father. Right. You got these two men because they're in my house right now. So, I mean,
my father would have been 100 2 days ago, yeah.
Wow, because the picture he showed me is the emperor card, the really old-looking guy in the cards. So I'm kind of laughing. Soulmate love always comes from God and someone who died. So it is your father and your grandfather who's bringing you a soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
And your father would rest a lot more in peace if you had a good man by your side, by the way.
Oh, I'm sure.
A lot more in peace. Did you get along with your dad? Because he adores you, by the way. He loves you. Loves you.
I would say so. I mean, I'm a child of the 60s. You know what I'm talking about. You know?
Yeah, well, I'm sure you were a handful. But he understood you. And why you were, a child of the 60s, and I love that you said that, is you really didn't want to be the kind of woman that made her bed and lied in it and could never leave. I mean, you really wanted to support yourself, have a career, and be independent. But I think you don't... you maybe were too young then to understand that soulmates still are independent. They're not enmeshed with each other. They can stand separately. And this is the kind of man who could stand separately without you, emotionally, psychologically, financially, and spiritually. So, know that he is on that spiritual path as well as you are. He's very smart, by the way. He's a very smart man. And, he doesn't need your money. He's a man who's, have something to show for his time on the planet. Don't you love when you meet someone your age and they have nothing to show for it? It's like, really, what'd you do with your life? Really? You have nothing, huh? You're 60 years old and you have nothing. You live in your car. And realize this is not that kind of a man. Your dad is a little bit apologetic because, he wanted you to live to tell, and sometimes he was afraid you might not, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And, this is your year of love. When's your birthday? Just the month and the day.
February 7th.
Okay. Opening with your birthday year, February 7th, looks like it's a year when you're going to meet this man. Do you do anything to find anybody, by the way?
Well, basically, yeah. Well, the way I not when I'm trying to go to more and more events that are, you know, like-minded events, you know, expos and things like that, you know, lectures at the expos, things like that, yeah.
Perfect, because you can also try to meet some new soulmate friends, because it looks to me like he's very much a part of your soul group. So if you were to expand your soul group a bit, you would be able to meet him, you know, much more quickly. So
how do I expand the soul group?
By going to the events of like-minded people and talking to them, you know, if they invite you someplace, you know, go so that maybe it's one of their friends or their brother or something. Are you trying to make some new friends at your age? I mean, everybody tells me they can't make friends. There's plenty of people out there. We can.
In fact, I had to do that recently because I've eliminated some people that I tolerated for too long, even female friends. Yes.
Thank you. And letting go of toxic people, letting go of people that may have been like them in the past. Maybe we were more negative. Maybe that's how we were, but you've outgrown them. And, you know, not all people are supposed to last forever. But if we stay near negative people, it becomes very contagious. And because you're an empath, I would advise you not to stay near negative people, or you're just going to absorb that right into your being in like a second. So, you know, it's getting rid of those people. Stop being loyal to people who don't deserve your loyalty, which is also showing you if you met somebody and for some reason it didn't work and he isn't the man you thought he was, you wouldn't be afraid to let go of him. It's showing that you're not afraid to let go of people. And that's amazing. So I think it's different than you've been in the past.
I think it was my intention maybe in the past, but I went through hell doing it, yeah.
Right, and know that letting go of people who are not serving our higher good, you know, we only have so much time in the day. We have to go to work. We have to do things. You know, we don't have time for people that are not serving our higher good.
Yeah.
And they keep us from, you know, going out and meeting those new people. Are you doing your spiritual studies? Are you trying that? Are you expanding that at all?
Yes.
Okay, do you read cards yourself, you said, correct?
I have since 83, yeah.
Wow. And I'm impressed that you could read yourself. I never read myself because I'm always wrong.
I've even been told by psychics that I'm good at reading because I don't know why, but I am. The grandfather there, someone told me he was psychic.
Right, and he absolutely was because he gets a kick out of me. And he's saying that he had great psychic powers. He didn't like to use the term, and it was only the people that knew him well would know about it. But he said he always had it. I'm sure you've probably inherited it from him at some level.
I think so.
But you also have been a psychic in a past life. I don't think in this lifetime it was something you were going to necessarily choose to do for a living. I think you've done it in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying you won't in the future, but it isn't something that you know, I mean, if somebody asked me, you know, did you want to grow up to be a psychic? I laughed. I'd laugh. I would laugh. I would, really? No. When I was 40, if somebody asked me if you're going to be a psychic, I would have laughed. No. It's not something I think I want to grow up to be. It's something that you are. But with it comes an awesome responsibility, and it seems like in your past life, the awesome responsibility of it looked like it was probably the death of you. In other words, unless you've had really a lot of spiritual training how to control all of it, and I don't think in that lifetime anybody was really trained how to do that. So I'm not saying you could have been trained.
Was a healer then too, yes.
Exactly. But you, because you're an empath, you took it all in on you. Like what I've had, and I'm an empath too. I've always known that since I was a child. And empaths sometimes have a little bit of social anxiety because they feel the energy in a room, and they know it's all dysfunctional. So they want to get out of there. But it's for me, I had to learn how to block like your pain from mine. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like I don't let it in me. I will feel a vibration, like if I have someone coming for a reading and I sense they're not believers, they're testing, I start to feel that it makes me uncomfortable. Do you know what I mean? Then I'm like, ugh. You know, I don't like the energy that's there. And what I have to do is then, okay, you have to feel it because you know what you're dealing with. Like if you're, you know, you're meeting a Hitler, you want to feel that energy of Hitler so you know to protect yourself, but you don't want it to influence you and affect you. So I've learned to feel it and block it, which is something you might want to work on. Feel it, and then I block it so it doesn't come into me because it's made my life a lot happier. I mean, I used to be very uncomfortable, and I'm as introverted as I am extroverted. So some people don't understand that I'm really a pretty introverted person. I will be very extroverted when I'm out in public because that's what we're supposed to be. But I was always uncomfortable because I felt too much of the, you know, the uncomfortableness in the room or people not liking each other or dysfunction. So I think you're going to work at blocking it a little bit and, you know, feeling it. And then say, okay, but that's not my energy, so I'm not putting that in me. You know what I mean? That's okay. That's their energy. That's their story. And then you might find it more comfortable, you know, to get a little bit more into the psychic world. Are you a mother, by the way?
Yes.
Because you appear to be a very good mother.
Yes.
And for your children's sake, your grandfather just said, could you show them a better version of love, please? Could you show them what real soulmate love looks like, please? And, you know, it definitely, this love is going to make you feel very young, too, because it's a very, this person has a lot of youthful energy, fun. Mm-hmm. You need a little more fun in your life. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
And older souls by nature tend to be workaholics. They tend to be rather disciplined people. I don't think life is as much fun for them as it could be. I know when you were younger living in the 60s, I'm sure you wanted to have fun. I'm sure. I'm sure because in your last lifetime, you worked hard and I don't think it really panned out the way you wanted to. So this lifetime, probably when you were younger, what the hell, I'm not going to work too hard, I'm going to have fun. But now I think you need to go a little bit back to that nature where you had a little more fun when you were younger.
Mm-hmm.
Where, and, you know, your father's laughing. He goes, yeah, controlled fun. You know what I mean?
Control fund.
I mean, the man loved you, but he was a little bit fearful. Are you aware that your dad had a lot of fears?
Yes.
He had a lot of fears. And, you know, he said you had a lot more courage than he ever had, by the way. So,
yeah. This thing should tell me that, too.
I'm kind of laughing because normally it's the fathers that teach the daughters courage. Your father said you taught him a little bit of courage.
Oh, wow.
So he loves you very much. But what I see for you is definitely a soulmate love coming, you know, and that you're ready for it. You know, if you were to die, by the way, without experiencing a soulmate love that's maintained, you're going to have to walk the earth again whether you want to or not. So you might want to just have that soulmate love that's maintained so you can cut some deals with God in your next life if you have to have one or what it'll be. So, you know, I wouldn't bypass the soulmate here. It's really important that you have it, you maintain it.
And not someone that I was with before, right?
It's possible. Now, we were talking about people coming and going in the last reading. If he comes back or he's coming back, you know, you might want to figure out why does he come and go or why is this not working between the two of you. He may not have changed. He may still be, and I'm not saying he wasn't a soulmate, but, you know, are you still in contact with this man?
No, I spoke to him in 2010.
Okay, and he's got commitment issues. Are you aware of that?
I've heard that, yeah.
So if I were you, I'd pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to and commit to healing, and you want to pray to be the same. If it's that man, so be it. I don't think so, because this looks like an entirely new soulmate. I don't even think you've met him in a past life, by the way. I mean, this is an entirely new soulmate, which is wonderful, because you don't have any karma, you know, to clean up. You don't have any, you know what I'm saying? It's a brand new clean slate here. So, you know, that's an amazing thing, because I think you've met a lot of past love, life, you know, toxic love, a number of soulmates from past lives that didn't work out. I think you want this one with no past karma. Just he learned his life lessons, you've learned yours, and you're both coming with that knowledge to, you know, maintain this soulmate love. So it's a really high soulmate, by the way. So it
sounds good.
I mean, this is amazing. And I love when people from Connecticut call because, you know, I'm a UConn girl, so from New York, but I went to the University of Connecticut, so I love my Connecticut.
I grew up in New York. I lived in New York for 35 years. So
you're in New York, you know, Connecticut girl like I was.
I had family on Long Island, and I used to be in Hampton Bays for 2 years. Yeah.
Oh, so you're one of us.
Yeah, you just can't hear the New York accent. That's all.
No, it's so funny, but I'm so glad you called in. And please let us know when this love manifests, or if you want to, you know, you want to call in and maybe share some of your spiritual insights. We'd love to hear from you.
Sure. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, good luck to you, and thanks for calling in.
With the dog, I'm sure he'll be fine.
Right. Exactly. Good luck to you, and bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, I'm going to pick up TJ at the end of our show because I know you've been calling in. Hi, TJ, and I need you now because Nicole has, you know, she has something else she had to do. So, hi, dear. How are you?
I'm okay. Everything's wonderful. I sent you an email. That's very important that you read it as soon as the show is over. Okay?
Okay.
And that'll be very soon. And then you will call me.
Okay. I go, okay.
I love you, and you're the best woman ever, and I'm standing here on the side of the road, and you can hear cars passing me. So you will, everything's being taken care of, but you will get in touch with me as soon as you can.
Okay, terrific.
I love you. Bye-bye.
I love you, too. Bye. Well, we really had a show in which we were dealing with a lot of relationships, different ones coming and going, people who have blocked love. Nicole, are you there? I thought I heard my Nicole. I didn't know if I heard Nicole there, so. Okay, I don't think Nicole's there anymore. Okay, well, Nicole is getting married on October 16th, and we wish her all the luck and happiness in her upcoming new marriage. She's been with Lisa for several years, and she manifested Lisa. Nicole is a disciple of Grant May Higher Love. She's been with me since the book came out in 2008, and that's sort of how we met. She came for a reading. She read the book, and she asked me if there's anything she could do to help to get the Grant Me a Higher Love word out there, and I told her, well, I was thinking of doing a radio show, and I could really use a host. And she has been on board since 2008, and God's reward to her was Lisa, a higher love. And, you know, I'm so happy for her, and I can't wait to go. I can only go for a little while to the wedding, unfortunately, because this was sort of thrown together. And I have to go to work that night, but I will be there, Nicole. Well, we are at the end of our show. We want to thank all of our listeners and all of our people brave enough to call in and share their stories with us. Have a wonderful week, and we'll all see each other again in the future, and we'll speak again. Bye.
Bye.